I'm 15 years with the same law firm, but I didn't always want to be a lawyer. Before I became one of Satan's little helpers, I know, and I sleep like a baby at night. I wanted to be a chef. I wanted to be a restaurant owner, ultimately. I grew up in the cold, hard streets of Dublin, Ireland, and when most other kids were outside playing soccer and terrorizing the English, I was hanging off of my mother's apron strings in the kitchen, always fascinated by food, always fascinated by the process from a young age, always trying to learn new sauces and, you know, perfect my hollandaise, and just loved cooking. Hung out with my mom probably a little too much. The day I graduated high school, I went to our local Italian restaurant, and I went in there, lied about my qualifications, made up a whole bunch of stuff about my experience, and started off working in a commercial kitchen for the first time, and I loved it. It was just the greatest thing ever. At the end of that first summer, I moved to London, where I started law school, and I went to a neighborhood called Primrose Hill, which is in North London. And Primrose Hill is a real trendy, expensive neighborhood with a lot of celebrities, and it's a real kind of happening place. And there was one restaurant there, which was kind of the trendiest little restaurant in Primrose Hill, called the Lansdowne. And I went there and again lied about my qualifications and my extensive experience and got a job as a chef. And at that time, you know, we had Jude Law and Gwyneth Paltrow and Robert Plant from Led Zeppelin and Adam Ant, you know, a little irrelevant, but a lot of celebrities in the neighborhood, real kind of bohemian, arty type scene there. And I started working at the Lansdowne. The Lansdowne was a great restaurant. We were doing artisan food before that whole concept of artisan food came about. The deal was that we had a blackboard in the dining room, and every day we'd sit around at about 10 a.m. with a cup of coffee, and we'd make up the menu fresh every day. A couple of starters, a couple of main courses, fish course, vegetarian, and we would create whatever, you know, was seasonal. We had suppliers from, you know, we had lamb from Welsh farms. We had this crazy, weird guy that bought us, you know, mushrooms that he picked in the forest, wild mushrooms. You know, he would only take LSD as payment. It was, you know, it was all sorts of really kind of neat artisan suppliers. And we'd create these, you know, fantastic kind of menus all the time. And, you know, all the tables and chairs were different, and you know, we were shabby chic before they'd even invented shabby chic. And all the local neighborhood people came to the Lansdowne. And the thing about the Lansdowne is that the kitchen was open. You could see us in the kitchen, and half the experience was, you know, the performance and the carry-on. You could see the chef preparing the food, and it was, you know, the smells were coming out into the big, you know, dining room, and it was all kind of open plan. And so I worked there for about 4 or 5 months, and one day I was told that I was going to be the kind of head lead chef on a Sunday brunch. And this was a big deal for me. The Sunday brunch was a real scene at the Lansdowne. You know, everybody came down, it was a big deal, and I was super pumped, really excited. You know, I was going to just really just knock it out of the ballpark. And so we're in there, you know, the scene is like, you got these like for real artists, and then you got the commercial sellout artists, you got the famous people, you got the wannabes, the has-beens, and it's a real kind of tense, but everybody's trying to be real cool and chill, but you know, you could really cut the atmosphere with a knife, you know? And then there's me, but you know, I don't need an excuse to be there. I'm there to cook the food. And you know, I was just really enjoying the whole thing, and it was going to be a big day. And I was 19 years of age, and I made it. This was real magic. And, you know, I had my menu, and the orders were coming in. Things were going fine. I was getting them out, nice plates, really excited. I was in the moment, you know. I was hustle and bustle, full restaurant. And, you know, I was thinking, you know, I was having this whole fantasy that Gwyneth Paltrow was going to come in and try and ask for something that was different than the menu, you know. Can I have, you know, some roasted vegetables on my salad instead of the cheese? And I was just going to temperamentally blow up and kick her out of the restaurant and be all like, Paltrow, out! You're barred! Yeah. That didn't happen, but that was all going on in my head that something cool was going to happen like that, but... What did in fact happen was a lot crazier than I could have ever imagined. The restaurant had a very large black cat. It was an ugly looking mangy thing. I don't think it had a name. I don't think anyone loved it enough to give it a name, but it was always in and out of the restaurant and hanging about, and you wouldn't think it was very sprightly, but in the middle of my service, a tall man came in through the front door, right into the dining room, and behind him, the big black cat came running into the dining room with a pigeon in its mouth, flapping for its life. And ran through the dining room, under tables, and directly into my kitchen. There was a plume of gray feathers throughout the dining room, descending on people's tables and into their food. And everybody in the restaurant went silent and did one of these. And I'm standing there with the tongs, doing my moves, and just like, and, you know, you can still hear the thing flapping in the kitchen. And you know, I mean, in London, pigeons are just rats with wings. Do you know what I mean? I mean, the hygiene issue aside, it was just, I thought, you know, where do I go with this? This is just awful. I mean, can I send another plate out of this kitchen now? I mean, this is... So I said to myself, God, you know, all of my false bravado and confidence and all of the thing, and thought I'm the greatest hot shot there is going, and here I am, ready to just fall into a hole in the ground, and I'm just absolutely petrified. So I flipped my duck breast, and I said, okay. I took a deep breath, and I just walked out into the dining room, and I walked over to the blackboard. I took a piece of chalk out of my pocket and I wrote PIDGEON, £7.50. And that's the day I realized that I was going to be a lawyer and not a chef.